And we will, with the help we get from Dan Burns, ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive, we're going to help you keep that thing running. If you need to bring your vehicle into your favorite dealer, your favorite shop for some service, give us a call, give Dan a call, or send a text message, and he can maybe help you out, maybe a little bit of analysis over the radio about what might be wrong as you head in. As we say it all the time, Dan, good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
Welcome back. It's always good to have more information rather than less.
Isn't it the truth?
Yeah.
With everything.
For everybody.
Yeah. Well, that's everything,
true.
No matter what you're doing.
Doctor or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure you tell the doctor the whole story.
Yes. Don't hide.
They complain about that, too. I only want you to find half of what's wrong.
Yeah,
I don't.
Right. However, Dan has helped us out here on CSU, helped you out for many, many years here. And he's doing that very thing today. We've already got callers and texters, Dan. There is a one line open if you want to use it, 651-989-9226. Or send a text. We're getting those, too, 81807. Probably a silly question. A lot of work at Lloyd's with air conditioning these days, I presume.
There is lots of work with air conditioning, yep.
And it's and usual problem is what, leakage?
Yeah, most common. Yeah. Most common problem is leak. We sell an awful lot of compressors lately.
Uh-huh.
You know, an air conditioning system, an air conditioning compressor is in all exactly like an internal combustion engine.
You is know, it?
It makes... It turns, works just like an engine. It has valves and so forth. So, and it needs the air conditioning system needs oil in it. The air conditioning compressor needs oil to keep it lubricated while it's turning. And so they leak, they fail. We've been putting in a lot of compressors.
I was looking at tire sizes online the other day and I did not realize that some cars, after all these years, some cars have different size. Now, apples and oranges here. Let's keep it there. In this case, there were 18-inch wheels, but the front was different than the back tires.
The front, yeah, the front, the
or vice versa.
Tires, they put the wider tires on the back, and it's
okay.
Cool. I mean, it's a cool look. It makes the car handle well, and in order to keep the... You're starting with an 18-inch rim,
okay.
So that's the same. In order to make the diameter of the actual rubber on the tire the same, they change the aspect ratio is what it's called.
Oh.
It's the percent number, like, say, 245, and then there's a slash, and then there's a 60 or a 50 or a 40.
Yeah.
And in order to keep and that's a percent of how wide – the tire is. So if the tire's like the back tire is wide, they put a lower profile tire, a 35 percent aspect ratio, and that makes the tires front and rear both the same diameter, which is very important. That's why when they tell you if you have a blown out tire on an all-wheel drive vehicle, you should change all four tires. And we don't quite go that far, but that's the reason, is to keep everything turning at the same speed.
Makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
So,
but it makes it tough if for those that have that kind of automobile to rotate tires.
Can't rotate tires. And it has a tendency, they're usually on a performance car.
Yeah.
And it makes you go through tires faster.
I bet it does.
But on a performance car, you want a... better handling tire, which they burn up quicker anyway.
So yeah, that's the trade-off.
This is one of the trade-offs, yeah.
651-989-9226. Dan, let's go to the phones. Folks have been waiting, like Jim in Shoreview is first up. Jim, what's your question for Dan?
Yes, good morning. I've got an air conditioning question, too. My air conditioner was working fine, and my heater also, but it only ran on high, and I think I've been told it's the resistor. So the other day I went to put it on. Well, it worked for a while, and then it stopped, or when I stopped the car, then I put it back, went to start it up again, and then I had nothing. But I was wondering if when that resistor goes out, are you going to get a burnt smell? I got like a burnt smell, like something was burning?
No, more likely you've also, along with your blower motor resistor, you did the right thing. If it was only working on high, it needs a resistor. Now I think you have a connection problem. If you're getting a burnt smell, it's because you have a loose connection somewhere. Blower motors take a lot of amperage, and so if there's a bad connection, trying. What happens is they're trying to put way too much amperage through too small of a hole or too poor of a connection, and the result in that makes heat. And
oh, yes.
Then the heat happens, and you're smelling the connector or the wires right at the connector starting to burn a little bit. So the good news is it's easy to find now because follow your nose. It'll take you right to it. And it's probably either at the resistor that you replaced or at the blower motor itself. When you find it, you need to clean that connector up real good. You'll probably have to replace the portion of it that's burnt or perhaps the whole connector. But if you do that, that'll take care of it for you. That'll repair
it. Okay. All right.
Pretty common. We replace connectors in the blower motor system quite frequently.
All right. It's a known quantity. All right.
Yeah.
Good luck with that, Jim. Appreciate the call. Jerry is calling from Greenfield. Jerry, you're on with Dan.
Yeah. Hi, Dan. Good morning. I have a 97 Mazda 626. With an automatic transmission. And what happens is when you first start it up, it goes on real about 2,000 RPMs fast idle. And if you kick it about three times, it'll come off. And also what's happening is that when you go to go on the freeway, the engine flattens out. It's like it's starving for gas. We replaced a gas regulator, EKG, and we haven't got into the fuel pump yet. I don't know if that's it, but yeah. I was thinking it could be the modular valve and the transmission. Is that possible?
Well, the fact that it's not running right either, I think, is what we should chase first. And you've tried a couple of common things, and that's a good idea. That's fine. But probably now what you should do is take it in and have somebody help you do a little bit more diagnostic. So I'm wondering if the fuel pressure if a fuel pump is too expensive and too complicated to replace, just guessing. So I would recommend that you actually take it in and have the fuel pressure tested under different conditions and see if that's causing the problem. And, you know, if the engine's not running right, it's going to affect the transmission too. But I think we should start with the fact that it's not running right and see if that won't take care of it.
First things first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good luck, Jerry. I want to take Joe's call and Fridley before we take a break. And Leo, you hang on. Joe, go ahead. We're listening.
Okay, great. See, I have a question. You guys were talking a little bit ago about all-wheel drive vehicles and tires. And I have a 2015 Mitsubishi Outlander. And left front tire had a slow leak. Turns out there's a nail, tack, whatever it may be, on the inside wall of the tire. And I was told by a couple different places that, well, we cannot repair it because of the location of the nail. And it's such a slow leak, I can put air in it like maybe every 3 days. But everywhere I go, they say I have to buy all the tires. I can't just replace that one plus, you know, one more. Why can I not have like two brand new tires on the front or the back or whatever? Do I have to really have all four new tires?
Well, not if you're close. Here's the deal. If the other three tires are significantly worn, more than 50%, more than 60%, something like that, if the other ones are significantly worn, you might as well replace them anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, now's a good time. So if that's the case, if they're that worn, then go ahead and do that. If they're close, if the tires are not very old, if they're still 80% or better, if you change two of the tires, you'll do just fine. They're never exactly the same anyway. There's always going to be a little bit of difference. And so in my world, close is good enough.
Okay. In
under those conditions.
Right.
So, and if they're worn out anyway, get new tires.
Get new ones.
Yeah.
Now, there you go, Joe. Leah, you're going to be next, and we're going to grab some text messages when we come back on our Car Care Show here on CCU. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, which is located exactly where on beautiful Grand Avenue?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is exactly between Lexington and Victoria. And or you can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give us a call. Big Nick is there this morning at 651-228-1316. I might be there for a little while myself.
Well, good. Autographing.
Till it gets too hot.
Till then you can get out of there.
And I'm out of there.
Yeah, the humidity is something else. We promised Leah in Montevideo that Leah would be next. Thanks for waiting, Leah. What's your question?
Yes, thank you. I have a 2003 Mountaineer, and I took it to Ford, and they put it on the computer and did some diagnostics with it, and it turned out that the timing chain is bad on it. And they gave me an estimate of $5,000 to get it fixed. That includes parts and labor. And then I took it to another mechanic, or actually I called him, I should say, and he gave me the estimate of $1,200 to fix it. He said, depending upon what kind of part that I would purchase, be it generic or whatever, the price would differentiate that way. Do you think, in your opinion, that it's worth it to take it all apart and have that timing chain replaced? And also, I have 197,000 miles on it.
Yeah, well, at 1,200, I think it's a good idea. At 5,000, I don't. So, and I also, I'm not sure quite what the difference is. On that particular car, I'm probably pretty comfortable with taking a chance on the $1,200 option. It's not going to be as comprehensive and complete as what the other shop is doing or what the dealership is doing. But with 190,000 miles on it, that probably makes sense. In other words, to open it up and repair just what's broken, which probably is not the whole timing chain system with all the tensioners and dampeners and guides and all that, that probably is not necessary to do that. So I think, you know, yes, at $1,200, of course, I'm not looking at the car. I don't know what the rest of it's like, but assuming that it's been well cared for, then it probably makes sense to do that. Okay. At $5,000, that's starting to get up there. That's probably a stretch to put that much money into into an old car.
There's your answer, Leah. Thank you for the call. You know, I don't want to forget our textures either, Dan. Here's one. Came in earlier, a Jeep Grand Cherokee 2003. The dash airbag and seat lights are on all the time, even when buckled. Any suggestions?
Well, not without doing a little bit of diagnostics, because there's a whole bunch of, you know, the airbags are a very complicated safety device. And, of course, there's computers and sensors and a whole bunch of things that goes with that. Oftentimes, it's a very simple fix, very complicated system, well-engineered, and oftentimes very easy to fix. It's oftentimes a simple sensor or wire or connector or something like that that will need to be replaced. But you can't start guessing on that. You need to take it in and have some diagnostics done on it so that they know exactly what they're replacing.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Texter says, I bought a used Chevrolet 4.3 V6. Can I use synthetic oil? And if so, what weight? It's got 72,000 miles on it. I presume that they don't have a manual.
Well, the GM products ask for Dexos oil, which is it's a full synthetic oil. Okay. Mobile One qualifies as one. It's probably a 5W30 weight, oftentimes right on the oil cap.
It says what
weight to put in the vehicle.
You could probably Google that too.
Well, or no matter what, if you put 530 in, it'll be just fine. Okay. If you put a 530 synthetic pretty much in any car, it'll work just fine. But especially on a Chevrolet, that'll work just fine. And like I say, Mobile One is one that qualifies with GM's specs on a synthetic oil.
Dan, we have to take a quick break. But we'll have more show to come. Doug, hang on the phone. We have other texters as well. Good Saturday morning. Welcome back to our car care segment here. Denny Long with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. We'll let you know how to get in touch with that guy and his guys. before Dan leaves us. Dan, we do have some callers in Texas I want to help out, though. Doug in Lionel Lakes has been waiting. Doug, what's your question, please?
Hi, Dan and Danny. I have a 2002 Trailblazer, and recently all three of the brake lights just stopped working. Now, I did just replace one of the front wheel bearing hub assemblies, which has the connector to the ABS. And I did that, you know, a day or two before the lights went out. And I don't know if that's related, but do you have any suggestions on what I might look for?
Well, that would not be related at all. First thing to do would be check the brake light fuse, see if the fuse is blown. If the fuse is not blown, then probably the next place to go would be to go to the brake light switch, which is down on the brake pedal. And if you just, get underneath there, which is not comfortable, but you're able to do it and look up and follow the brake pedal up, you'll see it, you'll come to a switch and a connector. And it's pretty simple wiring and a pretty simple switch and probably pretty inexpensive if you just want to guess. If the fuse is good, the brake light switch would be a pretty good guess. So if you want to just replace it, you could go ahead and do that. And if you're handy and put it back the way you find it, you know, it sometimes needs to be adjusted a little bit after you put it in. But pay close attention as you take it out. Put it back in the way you find it, and that should work just fine.
That's good advice for a lot of things you take apart.
Well, isn't that true? You know, we're taking something apart and we get excited, like, oh, I'm getting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you forget to say, oh, wait, you need to pay very close attention as you're taking things apart.
What I've decided to do in some cases is I take pictures with my cell phone.
Isn't that has changed the game? We do that with customers all the time.
Is that right?
Yeah, we'll take a picture of it and send it to them, and it's a whole different world.
it really is.
When I first started being a mechanic forever ago, that was our biggest challenge. Is we didn't have any information. I mean, we had to kind of figure things out on the fly, which was good for me, but. Nowadays, with all the information that's available, it really helps us to
you can access all sorts of things.
Well, between what's available to the public and the forums we subscribe to, yeah, there's actually no information I can't get. It's all available.
Good for everybody. Carl is calling from St. Paul, I believe. Go ahead, Carl.
Good morning, Dan. I have a question. I have an 02 Ford Ranger. It's got about 96,000 on it, and I'm hearing from different people that timing chains go on them when they get much over 100,000 or so. And he was saying that they have a couple timing chains on them, and I was just wondering how much it costs to have that done, if that should ever come to be.
I don't know much about the cost of things, so I won't speculate on that. It's expensive, I'm sure of that. What I would do is you can have that tested. You can both electronically and mechanically, we can test those timing chains and let you know where they're at and if it makes sense to replace them now or ever. So I think I would probably take it in and have it checked before I just did it. Timing chains are a little bit different than timing belts. You know, a rubber timing belt does wear, needs to be replaced as a part of maintenance. Timing chains, they don't put on a maintenance schedule. They don't recommend changing them on an interval. So I think if you're concerned about it, I would take it in and have it checked. Also, if you've been very, very good with your maintenance, there's a very good chance that the timing chain is still just fine.
All right. Good. Thank you, Carl. Texter says this, 2018 Kia Sedona, 11,000 miles on it in the past 3,000 or so. It feels real doggy at 25 to 30 miles per hour. Kia's first idea was to clean the injectors, no change. Now they say it's the ecosystem. Wouldn't that have showed up earlier? What is your thought?
Did you say a 2018 Kia?
Yes, it says 2020. Yes, that's what it says here.
Yeah. Well, it's still under warranty, so I would say that's Kia's problem.
Yeah.
First of all, I can't imagine that cleaning on a new vehicle like that. I can't imagine that cleaning anything should be necessary.
With only 11,000 miles.
Yeah, none of that should be necessary at this point. So there's something wrong with the vehicle, and they are just going to have to stick with it.
Keep hunting.
Until they get it figured out. If you're not having good luck with a particular dealership, then you probably should try another one. Let me tell you one little secret about mechanics and service writers and how that works. If your car came into anybody's shop, somebody worked on it, and you're bringing it back because it's still having a problem, more than likely that car is going to go back to the same service writer and technician that worked on it before.
Really?
Okay. And that doesn't always – sometimes that's a great idea. You know, I want the same guy to look at it.
Sure.
Sometimes that's not a good idea. So if you are looking for – if you're frustrated and you need a change, then maybe what you need to do is switch buildings, go to a different dealership.
Oh, okay.
And, and let somebody else put a fresh set of eyes on it.
Get another doctor's opinion.
That might help.
Yeah. So. Okay. Interesting. So there's some advice.
Yeah.
Let's see. Texter says, what would a squeaking noise be when turning the steering wheel?
Well, that's hard to say if it's coming from a wheel. Like Toyota, for example, has a little bushing underneath the dash that can be lubricated. It's actually kind of a styrofoam bushing that gets dry. And when you actually turn, it's coming right from the steering column. And when you turn the wheel, it'll give you a little squeak. And if you bring that into any shop and have somebody listen to it, they'll know what the deal is on that.
All right, one last one, and then we have to let you go. 2014 Kia Soul, the hatch or trunk won't stay open.
There's those hood. They're little tiny shock absorbers that hold the trunk open, and over time they leak, and the seals go bad in them, and they won't support the weight of the trunk lid anymore.
So they're replaceable.
They're replaceable. Pretty easy to replace if you want to try doing it yourself.
All right. How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
Come on over. We're at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. We'll be there this morning. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
And we hope to see you back here 1 week from today.
I will be here.
Good deal. Thank you, Dan.